welcome to the August edition of Broad Topics. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Welcome to the show, everybody. We are joined here on Zoom with a lively, lovely group of people who are here to talk about current events with us. Joining us right now, we have Ro, Joanne, John, Matt, JP, Allie, Kayla, and Judy. Hello, everybody.
Welcome.
I like how everybody is waving.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
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 I love the chorus of hellos.
Me too. So anyway, I was talking about this before we started recording, but I was having trouble today remembering what we talked about last month, which was 4 weeks ago. And we talked about the protests in Portland. We talked about manifestos. We talked about, what else did we talk about? We started to talk a little bit about voter suppression. But yeah, so many of the things that we talked about then seem like a million years ago today. And I'm sure next month, everything that we're talking about today may or may not seem like a million years in the future. I don't know. I feel like time might not go as fast the closer we get to the election, which I believe is 77 days from today.
Wow. Yeah. I feel like time is just going to slow down. Sorry.
Definitely. No, I was just going to say a lot of things have changed except for the voter suppression. That is like maybe one of the through lines.
Well, I mean, you know.
If anything, it's just... We're going steeper. It's steeper, the voter suppression.
Well, I mean, when that's your party platform, I guess it's always going to be there.
Yeah, that's fair.
Strategies
that hadn't occurred to me.
Right.
But we'll definitely have to talk about the USPS thing in a second. But last month, we finished off talking about what everybody was going to do for school. I know that, you know, some states were hell-bent on going back in person, and it hasn't really, you know, gone so smoothly for them. Some states were doing virtual. I believe in New York, you have to meet certain criteria to have your school district meet in person, which I believe is less than 5% positive case rates in that school district, which, as we've talked about also before, New York does their school districts in a way that I find very smart, unlike North Carolina, where your school district is your county, and our county is huge. There are times when we have, you know, 6 inches of snow here, and they have like zero snow on the other side of the county because it's just so big. But anyway, the big news today in North Carolina is that UNC sent their students back, and now they went from like a 3% to a 13% positivity rate, like they had this cluster, and now they're all going to virtual learning. Allie, what is it like in your district?
I know here it's we're waiting for our county to get off the hot list. And so it's like waiting for, you have to have a downturn of cases for 14 days and then your county can get it, which for me, I was like, that's never going to happen. So I'm not like really expecting that. But
where are you?
I
right
felt
now?
That, what's that? I'm actually out near Sacramento.
Okay.
In California.
I thought you were in California. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm up near Sacramento, but I kind of have been thinking about it lately as the difference between like high school, and this might not be the popular opinion, but the difference between high school and middle school and elementary school, and just the way that kids are grouped. To me, in high school, you're guaranteed to be mingling because you're changing classes and you're doing that kind of thing. But I feel like they've been, since my daughter's in kindergarten, this is her first year with school. And so it's been interesting learning how to do school but it being on the computer. So that's, this whole thing is new to us. So I don't know.
Right. And it's kind of
I want everybody to be safe though. That's the big yeah. important thing. Somebody's coming in to talk to me.
Ro, as I'm a teacher in New York, was I correct about the 5% thing? Is that correct?
It is correct for New York State. Your area has to be below 5%. New York City has actually taken the next step, saying that if it is above 3%, that our schools would close. But New York City is also one of the only, I should say, the only large school district across the country that is trying to do live in-person teaching. And because our city is so immense and so diverse, it creates a host of issues that I couldn't even begin to tell you about. So, you know, at this point, we're still planning to go live, but there are three different factors that are really at odds with each other. There's the city government, the mayor, and then there's the Department of Education, and then there's the union. And I'm a very proud union member and think that I have one of the strongest educational unions in the country, and they're looking out for us, but there's a lot of things to be thinking about. So we'll see. Not my will today.
Oh gosh. Oh, Rob.
We're Joanne.
So my son is a high school biology teacher, and he's also living with me right now because he's getting a house built. So I get to hear about they're going fully virtual, many weird things. I figured it was going to be more difficult for him virtual than not, and it certainly sounds horrible trying to be a teacher. They are setting up his schedule so he gets 1 hour on Wednesday to plan.
Oh, wow.
Every other time during the week is scheduled, including office hours, where he's specifically told he cannot plan, even if nobody's there. Not allowed to plan during office hours. He can only do it during the 1 hour. And he found out that he has to give a class, like if his class is supposed to be interactive and he's asking questions and he's getting taped for all the classes. If nobody is there, he still has to get the class and he has to ask questions. He's like, I guess I'll just answer them for everybody because he doesn't know how he's supposed to answer them if there's nobody there. And
tell him to do voices if no one's there and then make it go viral.
Yes. I volunteered to and try answering for him. So it's a teacher's row. I'm sure you're going to have, you know, if you do have to go virtual, for, you know, as much as it's going to be tough, it's hard either way. I mean, he's happy that they're going virtual because he is worried about all the issues, but he's also now, you know, it'd be really, really tough time trying to teach correctly.
Yeah.
With the amount being asked.
I'm wondering how anyone can in their right mind think that a week's worth of preparation can be done in 1 hour. I'm just unclear on...
You have no idea. I mean, you're a teacher, so you should know. There's so many unrealistic expectations put on us.
Because if you did really limit yourself to that 1 hour of prep and then just, you know, do it with that, then you probably wouldn't be kept as a teacher. Like, but it's unfair to expect someone to perform at a certain standard if they're not given the time to do that. It's just, it's wild. And like everyone in their right mind should know it, right? Even like, you don't have to be a teacher to do the math there. So,
right.
Yeah. That's just mind boggling.
And the worst is that one of the people who spoke out against them going virtual was, well, they ought to get paid less because they'll be doing so much less work if it's virtual.
It's funny
because they're getting paid just like way too much already.
Right.
Right. That's really where all our budget problems are coming from. You know, teachers are just being paid too much, really.
That perfectly illustrates sort of what's wrong with our education system in general. That is the attitude of so many people and the respect that they have or lack of respect for teachers. Like if that's, and that is the feeling of a lot of people. Mm-hmm. That's pretty gross.
It always has been that this group of people who just always felt like teachers, oh, you only work 10 months a year. And, oh, you know, you don't work that many hours a day. And, oh, you know, I've seen people now in this situation who, since so many colleges are going remote, even though a lot of students are actually going to campus, but still the classes are going remote. Well, the professors should get paid less. And it's not less work, you know, as Joanne said, in a lot of ways, it's more There's no right answer. There's no easy answer. This is all just awful.
Yeah.
I would imagine it's more work because the fact you're relearning a whole new skill set. Like teaching virtually is not anything remotely similar to how you would teach something in a classroom.
Right.
So Michael starts next weekend. He just heard from his supervisor of biology, I guess, for the county. Well, they'll tell them soon how they're going to do this. Like, I start on Monday. Soon, you know.
It's like, yeah, that's infuriating. Yeah.
Well, I believe that Alice had said today that in their district in Montana, she and Paul had absolutely no idea if they were going to be virtual or in person. And it was just,
I think they're going to be in person, but there's no, like, the plan, I don't think, has really solidified yet. So,
which just sounds so stressful.
So it's already stressful because it's in person, even when like so many other places are going virtual.
Right.
So you're worried for your like health and safety. And then on top of that, you just don't even know exactly what the actual plan is. Like that's just like a level of mental stress on top of everything else.
And it just seems so reckless. It's like the longer you wait to make a plan, the less time you have to implement said plan and the more opportunity there is for things to go terribly awry.
Yes.
Yeah.
And when they do, you sure as hell don't have a plan B because it took you so long to come up with a plan A.
Exactly.
So
my father's a phys ed teacher and I'm watching him basically scramble because his curriculum as a phys ed teacher down in Florida is predominantly outdoor activities.
Yep.
He knows what sports or what activities they're going to do throughout the year. And now he's been reduced to just trying to educate the kids and keep their attention on, you know, how big is a football field, things like that. And he's the first to admit that it's like he feels he's no longer needed where he's at.
What does he teach in high school or?
I think it's junior high through high school. It's like special school.
Zachary's gym teacher last year, she actually sent home probably some of the most creative stuff out of all the specials that came home. One time we had to do flashcards and they played like this game where you had to like pick a different flashcard and they had to like hop while doing a sight word, while spelling a sight word, while doing something else. And like, it was, you know, just random, like three cards at once. And I thought it was going to be so lame and I was like, oh my God, I have to do extra work for this. And that was like one of the most fun things that like we had doing that. Just throwing it out there. If you think that the gym teachers aren't needed, like, you know, the little kids are still having fun.
I worked for a school district.
Yes. I was going to say.
Ours was one of the first in the area to go back to school. We went back last week, 100% virtual. And they've given us no date for classroom return. And the teachers I know within the district are just totally lost. They're doing what they're trying to do. There's very little direction from the Texas Education Association, TEA. The union has been no help whatsoever, other than to tell them, if you don't show up for work, you will be fired and you will lose your pension. It's just been horrible, horrible. And I'm so torn on this whole situation because I work with special ed kids. I'm a driver and I drive special ed and these kids need structure and they need the routine of school.
Yeah. In the chat, Judy says our local school was giving choice online or in person, but since college students are coming back to town, they've now decided all online until October 5th.
I guess we have no return date for actual in-classroom education.
But Judy's in upstate New York where the numbers are, you know, a lot better than Texas. No offense.
My county has 5 cases right now, but we're expecting 20,000 students to come into town in the next 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. No, that's not great.
Yeah. So all our metrics are going up the window.
Will be so good.
Totally. Yeah, no, I know. It's a frustrating situation all around. But I can understand them not having a date to come back because, I mean, that's the problem is like, who knows? We have to follow the numbers. But what I don't get is that it's almost like we had this whole sort of like built-in period of time, which is called summer vacation, where the administrations could have figured something out. Or maybe it could have been figured out a little bit at a national level, but
yeah, I know. But don't forget, the Senate had to take some recesses.
Well, that ship has long sailed.
But it's like there was actually this huge chunk of time that could have been used by all of the various administrations and at whatever level you prefer to figure out a plan and a backup plan and a backup plan and give teachers like a lot of time, you know, that could have been weeks to know sort of what to expect at least going into it so that they could then at least plan for that and start lesson planning and start figuring stuff out. But none of that happened. That's the part that is just mind boggling to me.
I know.
It's because they only work 10 months a year.
Not the administrators. The administrators. No.
He's talking about the government.
I'm talking about the government, but I'm also talking about the school administration.
But you're making the assumption that administrators talk to each other, and they don't. We have 20 districts within this county, and nobody knows what's going on from one to the other.
Well, that sucks.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I could also say that I know my administration, and I'm just one school out of over, I don't know, it's like 1,600 schools, 1.1 million children. But my administrator has been having meetings every single day, and I've had at least 4 or 5 meetings a week. And we're not planning education. We're not planning curriculum. We're planning structure because we're going to this hybrid model. So everything we're planning keeps changing day by day. I had a 2.5-hour meeting today because we had planned to do one thing with our hybrid model, but because we had less children going 100% remote and more children coming for blended learning, it throws 2 weeks worth of planning out the window.
Right.
So now we have to start our numbers all over again.
Oh my God.
We have to change everything. So there are some administrators who are doing things, but the lack of making ultimate decisions creating the problem too.
Yeah.
Chapel Hill, they made this whole big plan and now that's out the window. So now they're starting over, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and that's right.
The administrators, I think seeing my son's situation was they had to wait for the Board of Education and that was not done until just.
Yeah.
And so the administrators can do what they can do, but they're stuck. And then you have the political leadership, which isn't giving, you know, the leadership we need.
Yeah, no, definitely. So maybe it's in the level above, but like, because I look at, for example, like the Cal States all decided, it was forever ago. It was like the end of last semester. They decided that fall semester was going to be online, just all online, all of the Cal States. So I almost feel like we should have maybe all just cut our losses and gone with everything's going to be online, at least to start. And we'll assess as we go and like plan for coming back. But like,
or there should have been criteria that you have to meet, like, but there was no national leadership. And I was talking to Nick last night because he was at Little Bighorn and he sent like a couple of us a picture of him and like his mask outside. And he was like, I just, you know, I stepped into a bar in Wyoming and nobody's wearing a mask here. And it's like super weird. And
yeah,
the first thing I did, though, was look up COVID numbers in Wyoming. And yeah, they are. Like the area he was in was much lower. So maybe, you know, you could make a case that they might be in a different situation than like a Arizona or a Florida or a Texas are. But like there's nobody up at top saying, you do this, you do this, you did this. Like nobody's saying it has to be a uniform national response if everybody is in different stages of their phases. But there needs to be somebody telling you, like, there needs to be structure. And you would think that somebody wouldn't need to tell you, like, you know, that there needs to be structure. But here we are. Clearly there does.
Well, and I think it's like when you leave it up to each state to come up with their own plan.
And you politicize it, it
does become the Wild West. Like there just needs to be some sort of air traffic controller that's helping.
Exactly. That's a great thing. An aircraft controller. Because when you politicize something that's a national health thing, that is a virus, a pandemic, that is does not give a shit like about your politics, that's the first step in like we've already lost. Like if people are going to actually take sides over like whether a mask is like infringing on your freedom versus like safety, and it's like a political thing, then like we've already lost. But we know that we've already lost because here we are.
It's 2020. Everything's political.
Masking is a huge political football in Texas.
Yeah.
There are so many anti-maskers running around yelling and screaming at people because they don't want to wear a mask. Yet you look at a country like Iceland that did their best and they virtually have eliminated this problem.
Or New Zealand, they're currently in a crisis with like 17 new cases.
58
now, okay.
But they're like on lockdown because of it. Yeah, so people are yelling about wearing masks and they're doing that without a mask. So they're like projectile sharing their saliva.
Their droplets are just freely flying.
Yes. Fly free.
So let me put a pin in let me put a pin in the school discussion here. Does anybody have any last thoughts? And we will revisit to see where we are 4 weeks from now.
Oh, look at the discussion here. Almost everybody here has some connection to education.
Yeah.
It's so pervasive and so important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Moving on. The DNC is going on right now, night one. Thank you guys for being here, not there. Promise you won't miss too much of it, though.
I'm recording it. I'm DVRing it, so.
Yeah. But yes, since we last spoke, Kamala Harris, vice president, vice presidential nominee, anybody have any thoughts? Ro is raising the roof.
Thank goodness. I think it was the right choice.
Yes.
I think it was a very intelligent choice. Yes. I know there's been a lot of controversy about the woman, but everything I've read about her has been fairly positive. She did run on the platform of healthcare for all. And quite frankly, I'd like to see marijuana legalized and taxed nationally.
Yeah.
Yes, that's great. I was going to say California, represent. Woo-woo.
I'm not paying California rent. No, thank you.
Yeah, because we talked about it last week, but, you know, love to get anybody else's thoughts.
I think you all were concerned about the progressive piece of it. I think you have to bear in mind that you still have to be Trump.
Exactly.
You have to have a slate that's going to do that.
I know. And that's I know. I agree. You're and I saw right. something on Twitter, a link to an article that said that Bernie's first choice out of all of the VP hopefuls was Kamala. But I agree. I mean, you know, it's going to be a close race because of the Electoral College. So at the end of the day, you need to go with somebody you think is going to appeal to everybody. But it was interesting on Pod Save America on Thursday, Alyssa Mastromonaco was on and, you know, they were like talking about whether or not she was the safe choice. And they were like, Alyssa, is Kamala the safe choice? And she was like, I don't know. Ask Black women if they feel that, like, you know, they're so accepted that they're the safe choice. And I was like, yeah, that's a, you know, good way to look at it. It's still an uphill battle.
That's a great point. No, I think she's a great choice. And I think that she'll be great. And I love the connection that she and Joe Biden have. And I mean, I said it on the podcast last week, but I love that they actually had that moment of conflict during the debates a year ago. I can't believe that was more than a year ago. Yeah, I know, that blows my mind. I know, it feels like yesterday, right? I know. I really,
like January.
I really did a double take, but I kind of love that they had that and then are coming together. I love the connection with Beau Biden. I think that she's, you know, just she's a great debater. I think that her skills as a prosecutor will be really good in debating, and I think she's solid. I loved also what I remember listening to a podcast, so it must have been last year, when they were talking to all of the different people who are running, and there was something that she was saying about $400 problems, because she was looking at, and I can't remember the whole context of it, but she was looking at it as things as a $400 problem, because that is what can really derail many, many families is $400. And the thing she was talking about was like, if you have to change your tires.
Oh,
like
yeah.
$100. Mm-hmm. Most people don't even have that saved. That would derail them completely. And so I really like that way of looking at things. And so even if, nobody's going to be in agreement on all of the issues, but the fact that she can actually look at things through the lens of people that for whom $400 is a big deal like that. That means a lot to me.
I think it's just she is the energy that the ticket needed.
Yes, she definitely is.
If he had picked anybody but an African-American woman, I would have a hard time supporting him. But I think it's going to bring the country together, and it's going to bring some of these fractured groups back into the fold.
I hope so.
Definitely.
Yeah. I think you're right.
I hope so. Everybody's got to do their part.
We need to share Matt's comment, though, because it's
hilarious. Oh, what'd he say?
It's true. Matt, would you like to read your comment, or would you like us to read it for you?
Sure, I'll read it. Have Kamala Pence in an empty room with a female moderator, and Pence's wife can't go.
Oh, poor mother. Always the butt of the joke.
Well, and then he wouldn't be able to go.
To be fair, mother's husband is always the butt of the joke.
That is probably more accurate.
I cannot remember hearing anything about Michael Pence's wife in the last 4 years. It's like she doesn't exist. I have no idea where she stands or what she is.
Isn't her name Karen?
Really?
No, it is, right?
It probably
That's
is.
Perfect. That's
I'm
so
not
perfect.
In the other studio, so I can't ask Alexa very easily like I used to be able to, but I'm pretty sure her name is.
I can ask Siri if you want.
I think the point is that you're not going to hear anything from her because she's just a wife.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I literally can't even conjure up an image of what she looks like. I don't know.
Believe she has dark hair.
Yeah, I was going to say she looks like you'd expect. Like a church lady.
Karen.
Yeah. Yep.
She's a Karen.
Yep.
So okay.
Of course, proper Republican politician's wife.
Hey, speaking
of pearls and everything.
Well, you know, she's not as blonde as most Republican politicians' wives, but you know, whatever. We'll forgive her.
Is that really the wives, or is that
or male ordered?
The no offense, blonde people on this call. Both. I think
more the pundits.
No, I think the pundits, you know, it's their stepping stone to get with the Hannitys and because Kimberly, what's her face? Kimberly Gargoyle. She's with Junior and she's not blonde.
I'm sorry. This person's last name is Gargoyle. Is that real?
It's Guilfoyle.
Okay.
Speaking of wives.
That's an interesting stage name. Great. Cool.
I know. You were thinking Kaylee McEnany and the bitch on the couch, but in the morning and all of the rest of them. But speaking of wives, let's get petty for a second. Did you guys see the video of Melania refusing to hold Trump's hand again?
Did anybody see the video of him getting off the airplane?
That's the one where he's trying to hold her hand.
Where all the other presidents were walking, holding their wives in their arms.
Yep. Oh, and I know the one where he's got the umbrella over himself and his wife and his son are like not near him. I've seen that video too. But I don't know. I know it's nothing. It doesn't change anything in the world. It means nothing. But there is something kind of deliciously petty to just chuckle for a second.
But if
that
he
this
doesn't
horrible
treat his
human
woman
being.
With respect. Is he going to treat any woman with respect?
No. He's always said he doesn't.
No.
He has stated he does not treat them with respect.
Well, Ivanka, even that, no. He gives her some, freedom to get some patents from the Chinese. But other than that.
So the thing that confused me with all this is why is he still getting so much support? I just don't
know. I was looking at the poll numbers earlier today, and like, okay, thank God Biden's ahead, but like, How are there still that many people?
Because it's not about Trump. It's not even about like Biden. It's about beating the liberals. It's about beating the libs because they have been fed a narrative for so long that it's no longer about like they. I think I would wager that 90% of the MAGAs recognize that Trump is a fucking moron, but they don't care because they either appreciate his agenda, they're down with the racism, they're down with the sexism, they're down with all of that. They're brainwashed by their evangelical pastors that he's like the second coming of Christ, but it's all about beating the libs. And honestly, I'm from that culture. Like, I can tell you right now, my parents have to know that Trump is like stupid and incapable. My dad has all but admitted, like, because I said to him one day, I was like, you thought he was a corrupt, you know, mobster businessman when he was Donald Trump of Trump Towers. He didn't just change at 74 fucking years old because he put an R at the end of his name. He's still that person. And he was like, well, you know, we didn't have anybody else to vote for. And I was just like, well, you know.
I will tell you that my dad, if he were alive, would be a total top Donald Trump supporter. 100%. I could hear him in these things. I think one of the polls that came out that kind of made it sound like, well, this is great for Biden. It says 78% chance that Biden will win, based on the, you know, this 78% of the polls say he'll win. I'm like, how can 22% say he can't? What is it that is keeping this alive? And then you look today the polls came out.
The CNN one?
That the support for Trump is for Trump. That those 38 to 40% of people who support Trump,
really?
He support Trump 100%.
Maybe people who support Biden,
a majority of them only support him because he's not Trump. And that's not a good place to be either.
No, it's not.
Very sad and very scary.
It is.
Still have 2 months.
But I do think that a part of it is like the cult, the cult of Trump. But I do think a part of it is they're so anti-liberal because they've been told for 30 years that the liberals are bad. It's probably a combination of all of it.
I think it's a really good propaganda job. And Judy said in the chat that liberals will take your freedom is the messaging. And
yep.
I think that's definitely the messaging. And it's just like, it couldn't be more ironic because it's very much, very much the opposite. And how anyone can't see that is the part that's confusing to me.
I know.
But it's that propaganda machine.
Right.
And then
I was just going to say, I don't think it's that they can't see. It's that I don't think they want to, because it is acknowledging the humanity of the other. That I think when it comes to that narrative, like, there is something to be said about the bias of it and the complete, Chandi, you've said this a million times before, it's the complete inability to have compassion and see others,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if you really empathize with other people, then you can't make them your scapegoats.
Exactly.
Right. And then the ones that do actually, you know, listen to other people's point of views, one day they wake up and they decide that they want to register as a Democrat. And then before you know it, they're in town halls with Mayor Pete speaking. Who am I referring to? God. God.
Which, by the way, where is he? Is this not completely up his alley?
I don't think is the safest space for him.
We're nice.
It's true. I mean, that's part of having an open dialogue. It's a discussion, not a debate.
Anyway, I don't know. I don't know how many. Sometimes I just want to be like, can we just, like, let's just hold the election tomorrow or whatever, the first Tuesday in September, like the day after Labor Day, right? Let's, like, just extend Labor Day holiday, or we'll just do it on Labor Day because most people are off because it should be a holiday. Let's just get this over with. Nobody's minds are changing in the next 3 months. Like, the people that have had enough. The people that are like in it are in it. So let's just get this over with. Like, I'm so
dumb. Yeah. No, because the thing about the polls is that it's way too tight for comfort, even if they're looking quote unquote good. But that's not taking into account massive voter suppression. And that's not taking into account if the Postal Service is no longer really like delivering
mail correctly. Well, that does take that into account. That's why that's why they have voter suppression and they're cutting off funding to USPS because they realize that like, causation equals causality in this case.
Got it.
I assume you're talking about the announcement that we're not going to know the results of the election for several years because of the post office.
God, did he say years? Is that today's
years.
Thing?
He literally said years.
Yes. What a baby in his temper tantrum.
So I don't know if you all, I'm from the D.C. area, so I do know that I get a lot more politics than other newspapers and reporting. Yeah. And today there was a really good article about how basically he can say all these things, but on January 20th, he's going to be taken out no matter what. And so that was good to hear.
Hopefully in chains.
God, well, you wish.
There are charges pending against him.
And that was part of their point, was that this is...
One can dream.
You just can't do that. And one will hope that our democracy and our country will be that great that we can react correctly if he does react incorrectly. Nobody has ever, no president has ever said, I'm not going to believe the results.
But didn't he also call for a third term today? Didn't he say that?
Oh, he said that was many years ago. He said that years ago.
Okay.
He could be three or four months. Yeah.
And that's the part that, like, if you're a hardcore Republican and even if you do agree with his agenda or whatever, I just don't understand how those people can turn a blind eye to this kind of stuff. How is that not as alarming to them as it is to everyone else?
Because they're reading different media. They're being presented it in a different light. And like, if you're, because I'm gonna go out on a limb here and call me crazy, but if you're okay with separating babies from their parents at the border because they shouldn't have brought them here, and you know you're okay with a whole host of other shit that's gone down in this country, and you genuinely think that Confederate statues being taken down are more dangerous to this country's freedom than somebody taking a fucking knee at a football game, and the first time you decided to be okay with a child dying is a 5-year-old shot in their front yard, which was absolutely terrible and disgusting, but where the fuck was your outrage with Tamir Rice? Where the fuck was your outrage with Sandy Hook? You guys got behind all the fucking conspiracy theories, so I don't know, maybe you can take your performative fucking theater and eat shit and go someplace where, I don't know, lock yourself someplace where I don't have to hear it, because it's really fucking annoying. That was a terrible thing, but it is not the same as anything else that is going on right now. There is absolutely no... The difference is this person was apprehended and will probably go to jail for a long time. The people that shot Breonna Taylor are still out there.
48 hours. Yeah.
Exactly.
That little boy got his justice in 48 hours. It is not the same thing. It is not the same thing.
It's not the same thing. And to say, to start a movement that the media is not covering it, I don't know. I saw it on CNN. I live in North Carolina. I saw it on WRAL, which is like our local News 12 or whatever. Like, I saw that. I saw it places. I forgot how we got here. Oh, yes, that's right. If that's going to be the first time that you're going to get upset about something, then I don't know. Maybe you're lost and meh on you.
We live several miles from one of the largest concentration camps, for lack of a better word, that Trump has set up. There are protests out there daily. And how can you not be outraged constantly at what's going on? The pregnancy rate among teenage girls in these camps that are being held is outrageous. The disease rates are outrageous. The rape is just out of control.
Right. Wasn't there a story that came out over the past weekend about this ICE people detaining them were like systematically raping?
Systematically. Yes. Yep.
So, yes, I guess what my point was originally, to sum it up again, is like, I don't understand how you can be okay with that. Like, if those are policies that you're okay with, then you suck.
Well, let's hope groups like the Lincoln Project and some of the other right-wing groups that are just totally against what's going on in Washington will prevail. I'm in one of the big swing states. Texas is definitely
in
one
play?
Of the key states for
you think
what's
it's
going
in play?
On.
It'll be interesting. North Carolina's in play.
I think a lot of states are in play. It's the question of whether we go back to voter suppression. And that's why that's important, because some of these states are close, and a lot of it's going to depend on whether or not people feel like they can vote. And it's, and that's been horrible. The other part that the Lincoln Project and such, from, you know, 90s, you know, whatever it was, 2000, when was this? 4 years ago?
2016.
January 1916.
When Trump got elected, my feeling was that he was going to destroy the Republican Party, because he's not a Republican. He's not a conservative Republican. And the crazy thing is that they are still supporting him. And it's just not right. He's not, I don't agree with the conservative Republicans, but they have a point, and they have a point of view. But it's not the view that we're getting right now. And I hope they find their way back, because I think it's good to have a two voices. I think.
Right on time.
Hey.
You must have heard us. We you made a reference
Republican
to you.
More than three times.
That's funny.
No, we were. I was like, look, once you start to hear other people's points of views, all of a sudden, next thing you know, you're registering as a Democrat for a local election. And then you're on a conference call with Mayor Pete.
That was cool. Mayor Pete's a good guy.
Cool. What are your thoughts on Kamala?
You know what? I think she would have been the most formidable presidential candidate. I always thought that.
Cool.
So obviously, I think she's a good VP pick.
Cool.
Well, didn't you guys on the last broadcast talk about the fact that Biden may be a one-term president and may be grooming Kamala Harris to become the next president? That could very easily be 12 years of some really good politics.
That's definitely the discussion here in the D.C. area, that he is 78. He's the oldest president, if he gets elected, ever.
Yeah.
That the whole idea is that Kamala becomes the heir apparent, and hopefully that is true.
Yeah, let's not fuck this up, guys.
But first,
step one.
First we got to save the post office, and then we can then we can talk about Kamala for president in 4 years.
Yeah, I believe Joe Biden has said that he wants to be a bridge president.
Mm-hmm.
Which, whatever, I like that phrasing, whatever. Cool. So all of this long tangent, actually, so we started talking about mail-in voting and we never actually talked about it. So I don't know. The Postmaster General is going to appear before Congress next week, I believe. He's going by the House Oversight Committee, one of the committees, whatever one Katie Porter is on. And I'm sure there's going to be 1.5 million sound bites from that. Is anybody in a state? I know Florida Man is, Shandy is, Allie is right now. Is anybody else from a state that does have like mail-in voting generally?
I've signed up to mail in and vote. So my question is, if you can deliver Christmas cards that we submit on December 24th, arrive on December 24th, which they sometimes do, how could the president, this wonderful president, oversee a postal service that now can't deliver ballots in several days?
I read somebody's like meme or whatever on Facebook saying, oh, we can do our tax returns, we can do our credit cards, we can do our driver's licenses, we can do our passports. All that stuff can be done through the mail, but this is just bogus. Why are we doing this?
Right.
I think it brings it back to the swing states. He's upset that these swing states, now hundreds of thousands of millions of people are voting in these swing states that might not have voted before.
Right.
Texas permits in-person voting at any polling station in your county for up to 2 weeks before the election. The polls will be open, and we are going to go early vote. There are not as many open, of course, as election day, but we are going to early vote just to make sure our votes get counted correctly, because we don't want to take a chance on him invalidating any mail-in votes.
John, where do you live?
Houston, Texas.
So in North Carolina, you know, anybody is eligible to request a ballot by mail Jay actually got something last week from the Center for Voter Information, and it just explains like how you vote by mail, you know, how it's easy. 65.5% of voters in North Carolina cast their ballots before Election Day in the 2016 election, mm-hmm. join them in 2020, and it's not an actual ballot, but it's to submit to get an absentee ballot form. I didn't get one, and I'm not sure why, but I think it's maybe because Jay's done early voting before, and I've never done early voting. I've always gone on the actual election day, but I have no idea. But it's interesting just because Shandy and Amanda shared a link that I actually hadn't heard of at all, to be honest. Voters in North Carolina have received absentee ballot request forms, which is this, in the mail with Trump's face on them. And it shows a picture of...
That was online.
What?
That was online, posted on one of the news...
yeah, I totally and completely missed this. And if mine came like that, then if I saw the Trump thing, I probably just threw it out thinking it was like fake news, which, you know, like a scam or something, which actually might be another way of suppressing the vote if you're like, you know, not going to vote for him and you think you're getting something from his campaign.
It wasn't just his face. It was also text.
It was a tweet
asking if you're going to let the Democrats silence you. And inviting you to act now to stand with President Trump.
Yeah. Which again it looks like junk mail. Like it looks like if I received that envelope in the mail, I would have spit on it and thrown it out. I wouldn't have known what was inside it.
Was it sent by the?
I think it was sent by their campaign because I'm looking at the picture of this.
What would you expect?
Right. I'm looking at the picture of it. This is from the Board of Elections. So this is, it's like a .gov and like I verified this
it
is legit.
Yeah. I don't know. According to the article, it was an absentee ballot request form.
So I think
it's legal for the campaigns to send absentee ballot request forms, just like it's legal to pick up a ballot in California and deliver it for someone else. And who does that? The campaigns do it, right?
And that might be legal in North Carolina because in North Carolina, you can deliver somebody else's absentee ballot because that's how the dude committed the fraud was because he was having his volunteers say, we'll fill this out for you, and then like doing it for them. So, but like, I do think that Gott might be correct that perhaps the campaigns can send this stuff out. But again, I don't know what the difference is, why Jay got one from the Board of Elections, why I didn't get one from the Board of Elections.
I received something similar today, and I don't remember who it was from. I haven't looked at it yet. But my wife and I have always voted together, and she has not received one.
Interesting.
Calling be a good millennial like my kids were. My son, again, who's living with me, so he's sitting there, and I said, well, I don't know about getting on and getting the FC ballot. He gets online and he did it for me. So yeah, I'm sure North Carolina has one.
Oh, I'm sure. We're gonna do early voting because I do not believe. Judy says in the chat the mailer was sent out by the North Carolina Republican Party, which would make sense. But Jay and I are both registered independents or unaffiliated rather. So I don't know again why he got one and I was not special enough to get one. But we're gonna do early voting
tomorrow.
Oh, maybe.
They found us. They found us. We're actually registered in Washington.
So I was going to say, you move around. Interesting.
Yeah, they found us.
Well, Colleen, I hear the mail is slow.
Yeah. I heard the mail just was magically slow for no actual apparent reason.
What we need to do is get Dennis to go back to work for a couple months and fix it all.
Oh, Dennis. All right, I nominate Postmaster General Dennis Pettit. Let's start this.
I mean, honestly, that works for me.
Yeah, I'm on board. Let's do it.
Right? What? Dennis for president? I mean, I take him.
Great. We'll go Biden, Kamala, and then Dennis. I think this is great.
Yeah, hey, you know. Yeah.
It's great. Yeah. We'll all take turns.
If only Ed the Creepy Mailman was here. That's what Matt said. Matt, you can just unmute yourself and say it. Anyway, it'll be interesting to watch what happens with the USPS because I think that,
like,
obviously voting has been made the primary reason why they keep, you know, making these cuts to it and defunding it a bit. But who would have thought that, you know, defund the police and defund the post office were two rallying calls from two different sides in this election?
Yep. The government heard the wrong part. They focused on the defund part, but like weren't listening to the full sentence.
Yeah.
It's not just in case. So they make a point. Well, it's not the funding that matters. And they're right. He put a postmaster general in charge who does not want the postal service to exist.
Yeah, well, he was a giant Trump donor.
His rules were changing, not the funding, the actual rules he changed. There's no reason.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. But right. They still needed funding. The funding was in the HEROES Act bill from May that the House passed. That's been sitting in the Senate.
Oh, please, that bill was going nowhere.
It doesn't matter if the bill was going nowhere. They could have still worked on it to try to do what the government is supposed to do by presenting their own bill, and then we wouldn't have sat on it for 3 months, and here we are.
$1 trillion apart.
But that was May. This is August. You think that maybe we could have come together in, like, government is supposed to do, like, you know?
It wasn't the dollars that they're apart by. You can see this. Yeah, they were $2 trillion.
No, really.
It doesn't. What really mattered is that there are certain key pieces to the legislation that one wants, the other doesn't want. And neither was willing to bend on it and had to do with liability.
Well, Joanne, that separates this piece of legislation from every other house.
But again, this was passed on May 11th. It's August.
Right. That's what
I'm
saying.
It's August. Nothing was done in the Senate side until the end of July. Like, they could have done something back. We could have been hashing this all out before everything expired on July 31st. That's my point. Is it's not that it's a both sides thing. It's one house, one branch of Congress passed it in May. The other branch of Congress decided to do nothing until it was too late. That's my point, where nobody was...
I think if you went back to 2010 and see what the Republican Congress passed that never went anywhere, it happens when you have divided government.
Does that make it right now? But does that make it right?
I think when people are like on the brink of being evicted from their homes and we have a global pandemic going on, maybe we should worry more about fixing problems now than saying, well, you did it too 10 years ago.
No, I totally agree with that. But the point of the matter is, on top of the $5 trillion they've already spent, now they want to spend $3.5 more trillion. And it was a non-starter politically. Both sides knew it when it was passed. And to say, oh, well, they passed something. No, great. They passed something they knew wouldn't get the Senate approval and would never get signed by the president.
I believe a wise man once said that the art of the deal was to come to the table with something so outrageous that it would then force the person that you were negotiating with to come a little bit closer to what you wanted.
Well, he's a moron.
I think the biggest concern I would have of all that is that nowhere was McConnell in the discussion. I mean,
and that's interesting. And that's a fair point.
Yeah. And
they took two recesses.
You don't have a chance to compromise. But the other point I would make, trying to be a little historical here, and I don't want to go too much down the Nick route of things in the Civil War, but I did, and certainly it's a book.
Goes back to the Civil War.
I think Nick is building a statue right now.
Reading the book Grant makes you really understand, like, 100-some years ago, you know, right when the political situation there was not that much different.
We should be better than this. We should have evolved.
I would hope that you would have grown. And I would also say that I once got to hear Senator Dodd talk after he had retired. And this was actually about 10, 15 years ago. So it isn't recent. But he did talk about what David has to say about the compromise and the two-party system and having divided House. The difference now, from his point of view, as a senator who had been there for a long time, is that he had seen compromise, he had seen people willing to talk, gotten back to that point, which unfortunately is historical, but is also we wish we got by, where people don't talk, they don't compromise, they don't come to the table. You got to do that to make this work.
Right. David Gott, you generally vote By mail, correct? Or by you drop in your ballot or you do something?
I have not entered a polling place since the 90s.
And would you say that that might be a decent way to handle things during the pandemic?
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm not going to ask any follow-up questions.
One caveat to that. No, I have to put one caveat.
All right, fine.
There is a difference between requesting a ballot by mail and sending a ballot to every person who's registered in a situation where we know the voter registration is flawed. So it's one thing.
Is it though? Or you're told that it's flawed.
I live in Virginia. When I lived in Florida, I go and I request my ballot. They send it to me. I fill it out. I send it back. That's one thing. In California, they will send every registered voter a ballot. Now, many of those voters have moved. Many of those voters have left the state. And those ballots are all sitting out there somewhere. And that, to me, is worrisome.
But that has not been my experience.
But it doesn't exist. The fraud doesn't exist. There's no.
There's less than 0.05% evidence of fraud.
We've never had this situation. We've never had a situation where ballots are sent out to every person that's registered.
And we did it in Maryland. We've done it in other states, and it works. And no state that has done it has had a problem. So,
maybe there won't be. But I'm saying, to me, it seems concerning. I mean, Amanda lives in a building, I think, where there's lots of people, right? And there's probably a group mailbox, right? And so what happens is somebody pulls it out, and there's a ballot that's got someone else's name, and they throw it on the floor, or they throw it in the box.
And chances of somebody picking that up and doing anything with it is so minimal. And the fact is, you haven't been to a voting place, but quite honestly, going to a voting place is not that hard to also just say, I'm somebody else, and you can talk
about it. It may not be an issue. But I'm saying there is a difference between vote by mail, where you've affirmatively asked for your ballot to be sent that way, and vote by mail, where it's just sent whether you ask for it or not.
Okay,
so we don't want to make it easy for people to vote. Is a statement that you're making? I'm sorry, that's not true. It should be as easy.
And you have states now where they're saying they shouldn't be validating signatures, they shouldn't be doing any of the basic checks, and that to me is concerning.
Well, the thing like the signatures though, what if I have never my driver's license signature is the same one that I did when I first got my license? Well, I'm sorry. In North Carolina, I got a new license, so I apologize. But if I was still in New York, all I would have to do was submit online, and it would still be the same one. In North Carolina, is the same one that I've gotten since then. Nobody has checked my signature. I could have any kind of medical condition. I could have come up down with like Parkinson's. I could be paralyzed. I could have anything that might change my signature. And are you saying that because I have a condition beyond my control
situations exist? But I also acknowledge there are people who would say, here's my 92-year-old mother with Alzheimer's who hasn't made a sentence in 5 years. I'm going to go ahead and fill out her ballot because I know how she'd vote.
But people don't do that.
Do they?
No, they don't.
Just because they haven't been.
Nobody has any proof that that happens.
Yeah.
There's no proof that that happens. That's the problem. You can state that it could happen, but the fact is it doesn't happen. We want people to vote. Our problem is
people don't vote without people asking for them before. That's the difference.
I think people are inherently good, and if they are threatened with that could be a felony or something. I don't know. I feel like I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to get in trouble. It's not worth it.
If somebody's really going to go through the trouble of posing as their 92-year-old grandmother with Alzheimer's, they could also just as easily, because if they're like related to her, I'm guessing they know her personal information, they could just as easily
make that request
online to receive the mail-in ballot and then do that. And people aren't doing that. So it seems like...
But that's an extra step. You're not just, look what came in the mail. I can fill it out and send it.
Yeah, but if you're that motivated...
Right.
Look, I'm not saying it's going to happen wholesale, and it probably wouldn't change the outcome of the election.
David, again, the question I have for you is, do you really not want people to make it easy to vote?
No, look. I think every
goal of democracy
eligible to vote should be able to do so
as easily as possible.
What I worry about is when that's interpreted to mean with no verification of any kind.
But just because we're mailing them out universally doesn't mean that there is no verification.
Do you have verification?
I mean, there was plenty of examples. New Jersey, there was some 80,000 ballots they found that weren't delivered.
But that's different. Like that I mean, that's definitely.
Why is it different? You don't think that's going to happen in this election?
No,
they weren't delivered. Maybe their postal service was defunded.
Exactly, that's the thing. That's different than verification, though. Those are two separate issues.
We have months to plan and make a system that is sound, simple and effective and equitable for any
government. You have no time left to plan for it.
Government can't
move fast enough to be ready for it if you funded it tomorrow.
But it should have been, it should have been already. But I stand by what I said last week is we're supposed to be like the best and the brightest nation or whatever. Like we should have been able to figure this out if we were motivated to figure this out. I don't know.
We should. I agree with that.
Well, but not for nothing. We mailed everybody a census thing to vote. Like, don't we want that to be accurate? You know?
Well, that's a whole
thing. We can do that. Like, how is voting that much?
All right, wait. Ro has her hand raised. We're going to start to wrap this up because we're at an hour 10.
All right. Well, then you called on the wrong person. No, just kidding. I'll try. So I think that this all kind of goes back to where I was about to say something before David jumped on. No, it's a good thing, actually. I was glad to see that you were jumping on because one of the things that
it's good to have lively discussion
that we're stuck in and that's already come up in the conversation tonight is the fact that, you know, everybody's in their lane and nobody's willing to compromise and nobody's willing to look another way or at another side or another thing. And there's so many complex problems and we have no way to get out of them. But if I'm going to just zoom in on voting and mail-in voting alone, I want to think about, why don't we have one national way to vote? Why is it that each state votes differently using different machines and different methods, different calculations? It is 2020, even though it sometimes feels like 1918 again, but it is 2020. And if we can do our taxes and the IRS keeps track of everybody's taxes, and yes, there's fraud and there's problems and there's little things here and there, but the IRS does their job and they keep track of everybody's taxes and everybody's things. So this government should be able to have a national strategy for voting and then keeping track of it. So however people are getting their ballots, whether it's during a pandemic or not, however we're getting our ballots, whether it's via mail or John mentioned email in the chat or something like that, there has to be a way to keep track.
I don't trust electronic. That could be hacked by anybody. Just saying.
I feel like
mail-in ballots are probably even safer because they can't be, like, theoretically, they can't be hacked.
Not for nothing. That is a valid point.
Yeah, it turns out, I mean, the Republican doesn't really care about hacking, though, so.
But whatever the case may be, whatever it works out to be, sometimes we need to solve national problems nationally below masks. But anyway, like, this is something that this is the big problem right now is that we don't have a national system. So we
right. I think that's one of the.
That's a great point. That's a very good point.
Okay, very good.
I think that's
point.
One of the foundational things about this country is we're obsessed with states' rights, some more than others. And I think that that gets into the way and complicates things a lot of times, honestly, when we do need a national response. And then the other thing is, honestly, you have a party that is sort of anti-government, quote unquote, anti-big government, quote unquote. Lots of quotes there. But it's easy to convince people that government is bad and government doesn't function. If you purposefully make it so that it doesn't function, then it's much easier to say, look, yeah, government sucks. Like, so I think that's like a generally like conservative pillar is this anti-government idea. And of course, if you run it into the ground, then it's not going to work. But like proving your point that way is, you know, it's just not good for anyone.
David?
Now, Reagan called that starve the beast, by the way. Reagan intentionally tried to defund government to make it ineffective. So, I mean, it's not a new thing, is my point.
Yeah, and look at, I mean, what kind of president Reagan was. Like, he is lauded by the right. But he was a terrible president, and his legacy is you know, we're still feeling things today. So, yeah.
I want to point out, though, just the one thing, because we started with this thought, or at least I did, like 15, 20 minutes ago. The thing that we seem to be forgetting so the USPS has these rule changes, and it's, you know, all over mail-in ballot, mail-in voting, but there's actually people out there who need their medications and need other their social security checks, things that come by mail, and it really is not fair to those people who are actually suffering as a result of political games. And I think that's why the post office should not have been one of those things that was now brought into a political fight, because I was reading an article today about a woman she's, you know, her husband, when he does his medications, it generally takes 3 days. It took like 13 days for him to get it this month. And he went, you know, without dosages. So, like, just like with everything else, when we're trying to politicize things, whether it's a pandemic or relief packets or the USPS or schooling or something, there are always innocent people that get hurt in the mix. And, you know, it would be really nice if we could all take a step back and remember that, you know, there are innocent lives at stake here, people that did nothing to deserve to, you know, go 2 weeks without their medication or get their social security check late and, you know, and then miss a payment on something. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Services.
It's so on brand, though, because, like, that's what this whole pandemic has been. Just, right. You know, no concern for actual lives.
I wanted to ask everybody, the icebreaker to end this, what radicalized you? Because we were talking about that question on the actual show last week, but I don't think we have time for that right now. So we will hold on to that for next week. But I did want to take us out on something funny. Is everybody aware of the WAP music video with Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion? And it's very, very sexualized. No?
Yes. But nothing compared to male rap artists.
It's a hot video. I'll give them that. Like, you know, I felt things when I was watching it. I was like, ooh.
Except for Kylie. Should not have been it.
Oh, I think Kylie looked good, though. Whatever. Anyway, there was a tweet I saw today that I saved for this discussion. Claudia Conway tweeted, "Gonna go on my mother's phone and set WAP as her ringtone for me."
Nice.
Which just made me laugh. Anyway, all right. Does anybody else have any? Sorry to like cut this all short. Submit your feedback. Come back next month. We would love to have you. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for coming out and joining us this month. We hope that you will join us for our next month's show. I promise it will be just as fun. That will be on Monday, September 21st, approximately 9:15-ish p.m. Eastern time. We might go to every other week after that for the month of October, just because there seems to always be a lot to talk about. I've had a really great time talking to everybody tonight. Thank you all for coming. Again, if anybody out there listening has any feedback, if anybody wants to continue the discussion, we can, you know, follow up with this on the regular show. You all know the email, thebroadcasters3@gmail.com or 331-276-2373. I don't even want to know what's going to be happening 4 weeks from now, but whatever it is, I'm sure that we're not even going to be able to predict it. But everybody stay safe and stay healthy and stay sane. Thank you to the patrons, especially the ones that contribute at a certain level, and that would be Tack from Tokyo, Eckhart Rickner, Maggie the Magnificent, Joanne with Plan, Greg the Gray, and Ed the Creepy Mailman. Thank you guys so much. If you'd like to become a patron, you go to patreon.com/jandjack. If you want to shop through the Amazon affiliates link, which that's still safe, right? There's no possibility of fraud for Amazon shopping through the link?
No, it's all good.
Okay,
it's great. All good. For Jandjack only. All the other ones could be fraudulent, so use J and J.
Yeah, so just go to jandjack.com/Amazon. All lowercase.
This Tech Minute brought to you by Dave.
Fake Facebook?
Yeah. What'd you say?
Fake Amazon.
Thank Amazon, yes. But not Jeff Bezos. That dude's about to be a trillionaire. And that is insane. All right.
Oh,
it's crazy.
Solves so many of the world's problems with all his money, but whatever. It's fine. It's a whole other conversation.
All right, yeah. We're not going to go into that right now. Okay. On that note, everybody, thank you again. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Peace out, everybody. Join us next month.
Bye.